Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is the Techno Gaze podcast. You can hear us live on Joy 94.9 Monday evenings, 7 p.m. on the interwebs at joy.org.au/listen-live. Or tune your wireless in Melbourne to 94.9 FM.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, curl it, find it, view it, code it, jump and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop formatting.
Good evening and welcome to Technogaze, the show where we look into the past, observe the current, and gaze into the future of technology. My name is Mark Powney. And with me on this very sultry evening here in Joy's Melbourne studios is Amiga Howell. Good evening, Amiga.
Good evening. I feel like I'm back in Queensland almost.
Yeah, it's a bit that way. And of course, we do only have one set of studios here for Joy. We haven't yet expanded far, anywhere beyond Melbourne.
Sooner or later, we'll be broadcasting from our Coco Cabana studios. Not quite yet.
I would like to get an assignment there.
That'd
be excellent.
Too.
Now, on tonight's show, we'll be discussing the latest in technology news, including FoodTube, a new concept of food being delivered to us through a series of tubes. Google has made the news again, this time with legal action around the world coming to a close for various privacy breaches they may or may not have committed. Now, it's been a WikiLeaks bonanza this week as well, with every mainstream press outlet covering the good and the bad in the fallout of WikiLeaks releasing further secret US documents. So we've got a bit of a long-winded section there on that. We're going to cover all sorts of issues there. Now, we've mentioned on this show previously the new open-source Open Everything social networking site that is seen as a possible threat to Facebook. That one, of course, is called Diaspora. And Amiga, you have some first-hand experience with that, don't you?
I certainly do. I managed to get my grubby little hands on the account, so I'll tell you all about that later on.
I need to get my grubby hands on one of those as well. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. And now it's the Christmas season as well, if you haven't noticed. And if you have a nerdy loved one, we have the gift for you later on in the show. And finally, NASA have announced a new discovery, even more exciting than cyanide bacteria, if you're into darkness, that is.
Oh, yes. Yes, one for the goths.
Indeed. Now, during tonight's show, you can actually contact us while we're on air, can't you, Amiga?
You sure can. You can email us at onair@joy.com.au.
Joy.org.au,
sorry. I'm not reading it properly. And you can SMS us on 0427-JOY949. You can give us a call on 1300-JOY949, or you can send us a tweet on our Twitter account, TechnoGaze.
TechnoGaze. Well, without any further ado, let's start off with some news. And first up, I think it's the series of tubes.
Yes, yes. Well, the internet might not really be a series of tubes, despite what some US senators might have us believe, but a new food delivery system that is being proposed in the UK is exactly that. What they want to do is make a network of automatically routed canisters to replace trucks. They're calling it an Internet of Things. which is an interesting choice of names. But yeah, a group of academics are saying that if you put a series of underground tunnels, you could save a lot of energy and transport time and all of that sort of stuff. So they want to put the goods in the metal capsules, and they're like 2 meter long capsules, so they're about the size of the crates that go into a truck, and then they whiz around these underground tubes at 60 miles an hour.
60 miles an hour?
I know. That's serious.
Like, what's that? That's 100K an hour.
Yeah, about 120 clicks an hour.
Wow.
So, yeah, high speed food. So they want 15 million pounds to build a 5 mile test circuit, and then they want to roll it out, and they think that the scheme could fund itself.
Sorry, that was 50 million or 15?
15 million pounds. So you can times that by 3 to get Australian money, but yeah, they want a lot of cash to test this idea out.
Yeah, and these are actually academics, aren't they? They're not just run-of-the-mill, just, you know, weirdo on the internet going, hey, I've got an idea.
Yeah, they are hardcore nerds, these guys. Noel Hudson, the food tubes CEO. I'm trying to stop myself from saying food tubes, but I'm sure everyone else is calling it that. He was saying he was getting really excited in his press release, and he's saying, in the long term, we could see an ostrich slaughtered in Cape Town and then delivered to Edinburgh. You know, I don't know about you, but ostrich steak was like top of my list and, you know, high-speed goods that I'd want delivered by tube.
If it goes that fast, perhaps it could be cooked on the way as well.
Yeah, well, if it goes that fast.
Build it into the
system. It reminds me of the pneumatic tubes that you used to see at the supermarket.
Of course.
You know, with the suction pipe, and you can imagine that on a much larger scale. I mean, it does sound ridiculous. If you look at these guys' website, it looks like a high school project from the 80s.
Mm.
It looks like a prank if you look at the website, but they are serious.
Yes.
They're obviously good at food tubing and not web design, so we shouldn't hold that against them. It's a pretty interesting idea.
Perhaps they took a bit too much inspiration from certain senators over in the United States.
It does seem to be an idea. I mean, with, you know, fuel prices rising and carbon debt and, you know, a lot of anti-truck transport talk going around, it, you know, might not be such a crazy idea after all.
Well, you know, anything for an alternative transportation system.
Yeah. Well, you never know. If they get their 15 million pounds, we might see it trialled.
Yes, although I guess, you know, I don't know how long it'll take to implement such a system here. It's hard enough for us to get a public transport system working, let alone a new and exciting technology.
I don't know. I think Melbourne could be the start. Maybe you guys should send us a text or an SMS and tell us if you could have something delivered by super fast tube, what would it be?
0427 Joy 949.
If you say ostrich steak, I'll stop talking to you.
We'll stab you. This is Technogaze, of course, on Joy 94.9. I've forgotten where we are.
That's the one.
Now, 2 years ago, a family by the name of the Borings. I don't know how to pronounce this.
I'm just going to call them the Borings because they don't want Street View to work anymore.
Out of respect, I'm going to refer to them as the Borings.
Very well.
They took issue with what seems to have been a Google Street View car having entered their own property and taken pictures from their private land. Now, the judge overseeing this case handed down a decision last Thursday, and while it's technically a win for the little guy, it doesn't make Google exactly a target for emotional duress money. Now, it was April in 2008, and Aaron and Christine Boring filed suit on multiple counts against Google over Google Maps' Street View images of their private road. Now, the same information was already available elsewhere on the internet, as well as documents on the home's sale and price, and many of the counts were actually thrown out. Likewise, an appeal was in fact turned down. Still, the couple pursued the only viable charge, a number two count of trespass, and 2.5 years later, the court actually ruled in their favour, conceding that technically they have a point. But their blatant lack of concern about privacy in other venues, including the fact that the couple did not seal the suit so their names wouldn't be attached, must have caused concern for the judge, because they have awarded a grand total of, wait for it, $1 in nominal charges.
Oh, that's going to sting those naughty boys over at Google, isn't it?
I think, actually, doesn't the CEO... no, that's Apple, right? He gets paid his salary of $1 a year, I think. So Perhaps I'll have to take a pay cut to fund this one.
It's a shame the judge didn't phrase it like that. You know, I'm awarding you damages equal to Steve Jobs' salary. They would have gone, yay! And then when they found out it was only a dollar.
God damn. This is TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9, where we discuss some of the latest in technology news. And, well, later on we'll be talking about WikiLeaks, of course. It's made big headlines around the world. You can't really escape a mainstream media outlet without seeing the word WikiLeaks somewhere within their pages.
Or an office water cooler, it seems. Like, everyone's talking about it today.
Yes, indeed. And we've got some very good points to discuss about that, so do stay tuned for that. Also, we're discussing some more on Google. This is TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9 with Mark and Amiga in the studio with you tonight. And we're talking about Google right now because they had a few headlines come up last week. Now, 6 months have passed since the revelations that Google have been sniffing our personal Wi-Fi networks. And among the law enforcement agencies around the world who began investigations were, of course, the Australian Federal Police. Now, suspicion was raised over whether the search monolith breached federal telecommunications interception laws here in Australia, and the AFP began investigating whether that was indeed the case. Now, if you recall, a number of elected ministers, including our favourite communications minister, Senator Stephen Conroy.
Oh, Mr. Conroy, he's so dreamy.
Anyway.
His censoring of our rights.
That's kind of freaky. I just got
weird
images.
Deeply wrong.
There might be some black paint that's required later to block that out. Now, a number of elected ministers, including Senator Conroy, called for Google to be brought to account for their sins. However, Australia's law enforcement agency has now decided not to pursue the matter further due to difficulty of gathering evidence and its determination that the privacy breach was, quote, inadvertent, unquote. That's right, the breach, dubbed by Conroy as the single greatest breach in the history of privacy, has amounted to absolutely nothing.
Wow, I'm surprised he's not saving that title for himself. Just handed it over to Google without even a fight.
Now, back in July, you may recall the then Privacy Commissioner, Karen Curtis, reviewed the matter and found that the search company had in fact breached the Australia's Privacy Act, but she did not have powers to impose any sanctions on the company. Now, in response to this, Google, trying to save face in light of previous perceived breaches of privacy, gave several undertakings to improve its privacy credentials and published an apology on its official blog. And that apology, of course, applied around the world, because it wasn't just Australia that was taking them to task over this. It was actually...
Which is more than we'll ever get out of our friend Mr. Conroy, I imagine.
Yes, indeed. Now, late last Friday, the AFP announced it had concluded its investigation into whether Google breached the Telecommunications Interception and Access Act after receiving external legal advice. In a published quote, it said, "Advice provided by the senior counsel concluded that the activities of Google may have constituted a breach of the TIA. However, evidence exists to suggest that the potential breach of the TIA by Google was inadvertent, coupled with the difficulty of gathering sufficient evidence required for an examination of potential breaches. The AFP has concluded that it would not be an efficient and effective use of the AFP's resources to pursue this matter any further." Now, the AFP said it believed the likelihood of a successful criminal prosecution in this matter was low, and that it was satisfied that Google had given undertakings to the Privacy Commissioner in relation to preventing similar incidents in the future. Now, also from the fallout, a Senate inquiry was taken to determine whether Australia's privacy laws were adequate in enforcing such perceived breaches, and extended further to other areas of Google's online practices, including the way they scan the contents of users' emails on Gmail for keywords in order to push, of course, relevant advertising. Now, what came out of that, though, was the Attorney General's Department examined the matter and late last week responded that it did not believe Google was breaking the law. Now, according to Attorney General, because Gmail's Terms of Service explicitly states that the practice will take place on their users' accounts and that the activity of scanning email contents only takes place when the user views the email and not by intercepting the email as it's sent, It cannot therefore be considered a breach of our telecommunications laws.
I mean, I know a lot of people don't spend time reading user agreements, and they probably should, but, you know, anyone could tell that if you use Gmail, then Google's going to, you know, use the content of your mail to put ads on your account. It's yes. kind of the deal you sign up for.
Yes, I think it's very common knowledge, isn't it, really, that that's happening.
We'd have thought so.
And I don't really mind, to be honest. I do use Gmail
myself. Small price to pay for all of the functionality Gmail offers, in my opinion.
Well, yes, they do offer a good service, but, you know, the other email providers are keeping up pace and perhaps even improving in some areas.
I think there's less and less to distinguish them as time goes on.
There is good competition, though, nonetheless. Very topical for what we're about to talk about, which is, in fact, WikiLeaks. I guess an organisation that is causing an uprising, so to speak. Now, whistleblower website WikiLeaks has been massive in the news for the past number of weeks. We've covered previous episodes where the site has made it into the news, but this time around it seems to have gone global. And of course, the reason for the massive exposure is because of the subject matter of the current round of leaked documents. The victim in this case is the United States of America. But are they the victim, or of a terrorist organisation hell-bent on exposing secrets of the highest classification, or are they the victim of their own lax security systems? Now, the story of leaked United States secret cables, now known as Cablegate, began with an intelligence officer of the US Army at an outpost in the Iraq War, whose rank was no more than at private first class. Now, the officer's name is Bradley Manning, and he was responsible for obtaining intelligence information and dispatching it to the appropriate personnel on the front line. Now, the story of how someone of such a seemingly limited position could access such a wide range of data has been brought into question. But as far as any official word from United States officials on the matter, he is the primary source of all information which WikiLeaks has now released. Now, with such a massive fallout, is it the fault of WikiLeaks, a long-standing website with history in leaking secret documents, both from governments, including Australia, and private organisation, or is it the fault of the United States and their lacking security measures that facilitated a private first-class Manning access to secret cables between the likes of Kevin Rudd and Hillary Clinton? So, they have been quite prominent in the news, haven't they, this last week?
It's been everywhere, and it seems like everyone has an opinion. You've got, you know, the governments of the world just frothing at the mouth with anger over what has occurred. You know, there's lots of people in the US saying that WikiLeaks should be named a terrorist organisation. We need to track this guy down, you know. Somebody said they're going to treat him the same as Osama bin Laden,
I think which
means he's safe in a cave for the next several hundred years.
I think the person who actually is attributed to that was Sarah Palin.
Oh, no less. Sarah. She's such a level-headed woman. So full of wisdom.
Yes. So, yes, there are extremes coming out, and it's not only affected Julian Assange, who is actually the main proponent of WikiLeaks. He's the main face of WikiLeaks, but it's also affected his family. So his mother and his son has actually come out and spoken out in favour of him, of course, and being his family, you'd expect that. But they've also been threatened. So there have been certain people in the United States, particularly on forums, on websites all over the place, that are actually saying, you know, the way to get to Julian Assange is to, in fact, go after his son or his mother. Is that the right way to go about this sort of thing?
Well, I think it's, you know, putting the moral question aside, it's a rather short sighted view. I mean, if something did happen to him or one of his family, surely that would just turn him into a martyr of the cause. Mm. And it's not like WikiLeaks would collapse without Julian at the head. I think it's got enough groundswell now. You know, if something bad happened to him, it would only fire it up more, I think, and make people more determined.
And in fact, there is an insurance policy that they've put in place, which I found out just today, which is really interesting. It's a good way to go about it. So we will talk about that later on in this segment on WikiLeaks. But right now, we do need to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more on WikiLeaks after this. This is TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9, where we cover some of the latest in technology news. And WikiLeaks, of course, is something in the sphere of technology that really rates a mention this week, because there's not been a day without any headline mentioning.
I keep wanting WikiLeaks. To quote Firefly Serenity, and I'm just going to have to do it because it's not going to leave my head until I do. You know that whole, you can't stop the signal. I think it's very reminiscent of that.
Now, there's been a fair amount of criticism aimed at the WikiLeaks organisation itself. One such critique that has come particularly from the geek forums is WikiLeaks trading on the good name of other wiki sites when it is by no means a reflection of the typically collaborative and crowdsourced nature of, say, Wikipedia. Mm. So the main gist of this site is just a place for controversial material to be published, and the collaboration that occurs is performed by WikiLeaks administration administrators, not the general public. So does it really actually come under the guise of a,
well,
quote, wiki?
It's not a wiki, you know, by the generally understood definition of the term. What I think's good about that argument is that there's groups of nerds all over the place now going, well, WikiLeaks isn't a proper wiki. That's not how they should be doing it. They should be doing it like this. And they're creating their own sort of open source leak, you know, leak your boss's email site kind of, you know. I think it's going to herald in a lot of these kinds of disclosures. The idea that governments and corporations, you know, deserve to have their dirty underwear shown to the world if it exists.
I don't know if we deserve to have to see their dirty underwear, perchance, but perhaps their dirty
But I mean, when you look at the stuff that Julian's talked about that they're sitting on, they're not actually, I read somewhere that they're not actually accepting new submissions at the moment into WikiLeaks because they have so much stuff waiting to be published. Mm. They've got stuff from a major bank, they've got information from the pharmaceutical industry, yeah, all sorts of stuff. You can imagine some of the stuff coming down the line is going to be really interesting.
Mm. And that actually brought me to another area of real interest to me, which is in the lead-up to all of this, what WikiLeaks actually did in order to prepare for this. Because it wasn't just a matter of, you know, hitting a button and going, oh, by the way, we've got all these articles available for you to go sick. There was actually some thought put behind it. One article that caught my attention today was from the Associated Press, explaining that, in fact, there where WikiLeaks has been considered to be acting alone in its struggle to release these secret documents, the organisation has actually sought and received the advice of numerous well-respected media organisations around the world. Now, one observation of the behaviour of WikiLeaks with this round of leaks is the way in which they're leaking the documents. Instead of simply posting tens of thousands of documents on their site and letting the world grab them and pick them apart, they are releasing them on a trickle feed. Now, they involved news organisations such as Le Monde in France. Now, I'm going to get this wrong because I do not know how to pronounce Spanish very well, but El País in Spain.
I'd say that's a fair guess. If someone wants to correct us, they're welcome to give us a call.
Der Spiegel in Germany and The Guardian in the UK. These organisations have...
Pretty sure you got that last one right.
Possibly, yeah. The Guardian, yep. Mate. No, that's not right. Hang on. So these news organisations provided advice on how much of the documents should be redacted and out of the massive cache of information, which should be released quickly and which can be left until later. Now, what has actually come out as part of this as well is when, say, a news organisation releases an article on a particular subject, WikiLeaks have timed them the release of the appropriate material at the same time to obtain the best impact there. So there is some, for want of a better word, collaboration going on behind the scenes to actually see, you know, to do this well, instead of it just being a massive, you know, onslaught of information.
Well, I think they sort of learned that lesson the first time around when they released that first lot of military documents. It really was, you know, the initial reaction from much of the press was just, oh, there's so much stuff here. There's like thousands upon thousands of documents and we're not going to know for weeks what the gold is, you know, and it's taken weeks and months for the big pieces to come out of it. I think this approach is probably better, you know, if they're seeking actual impact from the information that's been released.
Yeah.
It certainly seems to be, you know, somebody's done a word search for all of the prime ministers and presidents and, you know, pulled that information out first.
Yeah, so that's it's interesting that they've changed the way they're dealing with it, and it has actually caused some criticism as well for the fact that they are actually while they're obviously releasing this information and releasing it in full. At the same time, they're a bit more thought out in the process. And is that a good thing for, shouldn't it just be as is and then have the world decide? Or?
Well, I think the nature of any form of press is an editorial function to one degree or another.
Mm.
And they're certainly more open about their source material than many of the established press outlets are. So
yes.
certainly the media would have a hard time pointing the finger on that one, I think.
Yeah. Now, we're also interested of your thoughts at home. If you have any particular thing to say about WikiLeaks and your thoughts, both good and bad, we're happy to hear either side of the argument there. You can text us 0427 JOY 949. That's 0427 569 949. Or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. And we'll receive that in the studio here. And if it's not abusive or anything like that, we might well read it out and comment on it as well. Now, of course, this has actually come up because Julian Assange is an Australian citizen, isn't he?
He sure is. He's one of those larrikin Aussies causing trouble.
with quite beautiful blonde hair there as well. Now, what's come to light, of course, is Julian Assange has a son, and his name is Daniel. And he's actually spoken out thanks to Crikey, the online newspaper. And in fact, they did an interview with him back in September. Now, what the press are actually saying now is that he is an estranged son, and he's actually 20 years old now and works for a software design company after receiving a Bachelor of Science degree. Now, one interesting point from the article on Crikey that came out was back in 2007, in fact, when he was asked by his father to help him create the WikiLeaks site, he concluded at the time that the idea would never succeed. So
everyone's a naysayer.
Possibly. And also a quote that perhaps shed some light on the man behind the site. This, of course, is Daniel Assange saying, "I would say he's very intelligent and has a lot of characteristics... troubles that are associated with high intelligence, and he gets easily frustrated with people who aren't capable of working up to his level and seeing ideas that he grasps very intuitively."
I find it funny that this guy is obviously a pretty hardcore nerd himself. You know, he works in IT, he's got a Bachelor of Science. It sounds like the kid's a nerd geek as well. He's saying his dad is a really highly intelligent super geek, it really puts a whole new light on it. It's not like he's some bogan saying that this guy is he's a bit of a geek,
<It's actually> geek.
He's got a hardcore geek saying, "Whoa, he's a bit of a geek."
Pot calling the kettle black, perhaps. Now, that article, if you're interested in an insight into Julian Assange and perhaps the man that he is behind the cameras, it's actually on. It was written by Nick Johns Wickbird back in September 2010, and can be found on the Crikey website. That's at crikey.com.au. Now, I think we will go a bit further with the Wikipedia WikiLeaks theme tonight, but we do have to have another quick break. So we'll be back with more. Right after this is Technogaze on Joy 94.9. And we are doing a bit of a special interest topic tonight on WikiLeaks, of course, because we can't really escape it.
Oh, it is the big news this week. One thing I love about it is the fact that now, they've tried to shut the WikiLeaks site down and now it's being mirrored around the place. So even though WikiLeaks itself is not a proper wiki, certainly the way the information is being mirrored and shared is, kind of keeping that crowdsourcing spirit alive.
Yes.
Every time they try to kill the files, they're being spread further and further.
Yeah, that's right. I think by last count, I checked their website earlier today and they had over 200 mirrors, and that would say something in itself that they are actually, decent mirrors. They're not just some dude with a Linux server in the back closet somewhere at home. They, it's something that would need a fair amount of bandwidth, I'm guessing, and a fair amount of processing power to handle.
Definitely, and it's probably only a matter of time before somebody puts together a bit of a cloud sharing app for them so that people can share it even more easily.
Yes. Now, the other thing, because there is these constant attacks that are occurring against WikiLeaks now because of this flow of information that's coming out. So they've tried to mitigate that by this massive mirroring effort, and that's called one, so to speak, on their website. If you want to get involved in that, you can find out how to do that on their website. But they have had to deal with other setbacks as well, including two times their funding has been shut down. The most recent of which we reported quite some a couple of weeks back. There was a bank that they used for online funding submissions, but they since moved on to a PayPal account, and unfortunately, the PayPal account has now been shut down as well.
We could have told them that wasn't a great idea
for perhaps other reasons other than being told to shut it down by the US government.
Well, simply PayPal can choose to freeze your money anytime they feel like it. And there's thousands upon thousands of cases of people who have had lots of money in PayPal and suddenly can't access it.
Yes. It's definitely, yes, not the best one. But I did look on looked on their website, and they do have multiple ways of funding their efforts, including, it seems, this very odd, it's a P.O. box that's... It's actually situated here in Melbourne, where you can just send your donations to. They're not very specific about how those donations should come through to you, but it could be cash, although it's probably not recommended.
We should do a bit of a stakeout, Technogay stakeout on this P.O. box. That could be really cool.
You know, I had exactly the same thought before the show.
You buy the donuts, I'll get the sunglasses.
I don't know if I want donuts, perhaps sushi or something.
Just steak out.
And some coffee as well.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. There are other ways of donating to them, so it's probably a good thing. Now, also on the topic of censorship, though, there's been some efforts by government organisations from the ground up. In fact, the US government has actually warned graduates in universities to steer clear of these cables, of viewing these cables, in case they see them and they might want a job for the Department of Defense or the FBI or whatever. I guess there might be a question on their sheet: have you viewed any of the WikiLeaks leaked items? Yes,
that'd
or not.
Be a great thing to bring up at an interview. So you'd like to join the diplomatic corps? Yeah, I've been reading your cables. I really like what you guys are doing.
I'm well versed in the latest.
That would be a job winning argument.
That's interesting as well, isn't it? It's like it's actually made it very clear what the operating procedures and what everyone's up to in their various diplomatic circles.
Well, it's kind of the equivalent of the 1950s, anti-nuclear, protect yourself from a nuclear bomb by, putting your hand between your head between your knees and standing in a doorway. Now it's protect yourself from these classified documents by putting your hands firmly over your ears and chanting la la la, whenever somebody tries to talk about it. It's going to work just as well.
Now, we've had an email from Lee on this subject. Thanks for the vote of support there, Lee. Now, he said that he's made a very good point. I think it's...
Or she, possibly.
Sorry. my apologies. I looked at
whoever you are, Lee. We like what you've got to say.
Yes. It's very easy for the US to put the terrorist word about regarding WikiLeaks. It's very typical of them to take a very simplistic response to a massive issue. Very good point there, Lee. I could actually go on. It's a very well thought out email, but it's very thought provoking there. It's they are sort of responding in a very simplistic way, aren't they? The in a typical government way, in fact, that they need the soundbite, they need the news item in the 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news, and they want to keep it short and sweet. So they simply say it's wrong, it's illegal, it's all those things. When perhaps it isn't. Perhaps it's not so much that way.
Well, terrorist has become such a hot word, We're all prepared to get groped by the TSA lest we let in a terrorist, so it's just the easiest thing to call everyone now, They're doing something you don't agree with. Oh, they must be a terrorist. They're anti-America,
Now, also, what has happened in terms of censorship is WikiLeaks have used a company called EasyDNS for their domain name hosting, and they've also used Amazon Web Services for their web hosting services. Both of these companies have actually shut down their respective services due to violations of the terms of service between WikiLeaks and the hosting companies. Now, EasyDNS pointed to the provision which states that members shall not interfere with another member's use of the enjoyment of the service or another entity's use of or enjoyment of this of similar services. So what they've basically said is that the fact that WikiLeaks is getting it targeted by massive denial of service attacks
Is affecting their other users, and therefore they can nick off.
Even though WikiLeaks themselves are not necessarily responsible for these attacks taking place. I mean, you know, you could say that they were responsible in the sense that they should know that this is going to happen. But you know, any hosting provider worth its salt should be able to put in place measures to stop this kind of denial of service attack. Now, Amazon have also stopped their services as well. They took a more political stance, so in line with the US government, they have clearly stated that the WikiLeaks service was terminated because the data housed on WikiLeaks was illegally obtained under US law and therefore has no place on their systems. Specifically, they pointed at a clause that states, you represent and warrant that your own or otherwise control or all of the rights to the content. That use of the content you supply does not violate this policy and will not cause injury to any person or entity. So they've sort of gone down the political line and said, well, you know, this is material that's owned by someone else and you should not have possession of it. Therefore, you know, we are going to turn your service off.
Mm.
Which, I don't know, is this information owned by someone in particular? I mean, it is information that's generated by our governments.
Well, it's pretty clear that it was, you know, it's owned by the entities that, you know, it wouldn't be called leaks if it was meant to be getting out there. It's definitely not owned by them, and they're putting it out there under the, you know, argument that it's for the public benefit for it to be exposed, despite the fact that it doesn't belong to them.
Mm.
But it's a pretty interesting precedent. You know, if you want somebody's site to go down, if they're hosted by Amazon or EasyDNS, all you have to do is launch a denial of service against them large enough to cause a disruption to other users, and they're gone.
Mm.
It's a pretty nice way to nuke anyone's site.
Well, it is
a very interesting precedent.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, if I'd think differently about using, say, EasyDNS because they've used that particular clause against me. If I was subject to a denial of service attack, am I going to be responsible for that denial of service attack? Is that,
you know, it's not too hard to get a DNS attack done against you. All you have to do is tick off 4chan and, you know, they're on to you.
Yes. The final thing I wanted to say about WikiLeaks, and this is actually the kicker here, it was just made apparent to me today, in fact, that they have an insurance policy of sorts in case things do go wrong, in case something happens to WikiLeaks' site or Julian Assange, the head honcho of that site. They've actually made an insurance torrent file available. Now, this is an encrypted file that was made available on the WikiLeaks webpage. It's actually at a particular page on the site. And Julian Assange may have posted this file up himself, should anything happen to him or the WikiLeaks organisation. And it's been made available so that if the need arises, many people will have a copy of the file. And, of course, it's encrypted. So the idea is that if something does go wrong, the keys for the encryption will be released and suddenly everyone will have access to the information inside.
Mm.
And, of course, the mind boggles as to what the information might be. Maybe it's just the full cache of data. Who knows?
Well, there's certainly, I mean, they've said several times that they're sitting on many other huge amounts of disclosure from various industries. So, you know, it could be the mother lode of it all.
It's been encrypted with AES 256 encryption too, which is probably the strongest. I wonder if anyone's actually trying to decrypt it right now.
There'd have to be crackers having a go at that. I mean, it's such a juicy prize.
Yeah. Now, this is TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9. We've probably covered as much as we can on WikiLeaks tonight. We thought we'd end off with a sort of a lighter note.
So I've got a couple of tips for people's Christmas present shopping. Now, if you're like me, you probably have a few geeks on your Christmas list that you want to impress. I know my tribe is, you know, a little nerdy. I know you couldn't work that out by talking to me, but it is true. I do know some nerds. One gift that I came across that, you know, would highlight you as the uber nerd this Christmas is a company called Theory Mind, and they run a computerized mathematical theorem prover. So they've got this computer that basically creates new mathematical theories that have not yet been published. And for $15, they will name the theorem after you or anyone else you want. So you could, you know, get your sweetie their very own never-before-published mathematical theorem named after them. That's pretty nerdy. And
I'm not sure if I'd
kind
really
of cool, I think.
Yeah. Do you get it framed or something?
Yeah, you get it, you know, I'm sure. I don't know. I haven't really looked into it, but you get a certificate, I'm sure, and you can be like, you know.
Because this would be like a formula of sorts or something. So
yeah, you know, just like Einstein's theory of relativity. It can be, you know, Uncle Bob's mathematical theorem number 45. You know, it'd be great.
That's fantastic. I think
well, you definitely win the nerd points. Like, this is the nerdiest Christmas present I've ever received, without doubt.
It's always a struggle to find to think of gifts to get. So if you want to get your nerdy loved one something, how about the mathematical theorem?
It's right up there.
Named after them. Now, finally, I guess, is NASA's made some more discoveries, haven't they?
NASA, yeah. Well, you know, I don't know how excited you got about the arsenic bacteria. You know, when you were expecting life on Titan and you get arsenic bacteria, it's hard not to be a little bit disappointed. But I can erase that disappointment right now because NASA this week have developed a new material that is 10 times blacker than the blackest black paint in the world that was previously available. And I could get all Metalocalypse and say it's, you know, blacker than the blackest black times infinity. It's made of carbon nanotubes grown on titanium, so it sounds really hardcore. And why on earth they'd want it? They're going to use it to coat the insides of their camera and telescope lenses, because apparently the paint that they were using before, even though it was, you know, really, really black, there was still the signals were still ricocheting off contaminating particles in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
So now this, you know, new black paint absorbs 99.5% of the light in the tiny gaps between the tubes, so they can get much clearer pictures of stuff in space, which is cool.
Wow.
But, I guess, yeah, if you want it, you know.
Either that or they've actually found a way to create a black hole.
Well, their emo kid up the road might have painted their room black, but you can, you know, completely beat them out if you get your hands on this stuff.
Jeez, this is TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9. And that's it. That's it for another week on TechnoGaze. Of course, we hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. If you're looking to catch up on anything you missed tonight, or perhaps you'd like to simply peruse some of our previous shows, you can jump to our podcast. That's at joy.org.au/technogaze, and you'll find a link to our podcast there. Coming up next on Joy 94... I'm stuffing it up every time I say it tonight. Coming up next on Joy 94.9 is the Sports Lounge. And later, the quality and diverse programming on Joy continues with an awkward pause at 9 p.m. Thank you, Amiga, for joining me tonight again. Lovely to have you on the show.
It's a very great pleasure to be here. I'm going to go and try to get some black paint out of NASA now.
And I'm going to go home and have a rest. Good night.
TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.